Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to another episode of Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And my guest today is, of course, going to share her Lyme journey with us. We're going to talk all about the misdiagnosis that she went through, how she started out with traditional Western medicine and eventually switched over to holistic health. We're just going to talk about everything in between. So I'm super excited to welcome her to the show. And thank you so much for joining me, Holly. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much, Tanya. I really appreciate you having me on here to go through and discuss all of this because it is a lot. And I really hope that this does help someone.
That's the only reason why I do it. You know, this journey, we oftentimes just lose hope, right? And if we don't have hope, what do we have? I believe a huge piece of this healing journey is our mindset. There's been multiple studies throughout the years, scientific research on exactly how powerful your mind and your brain is. And I know it may sound silly, right, to a lot of us that are struggling, bedridden, whatever it is, switch that mindset. You've got to have a positive mindset or you're not going to get better or you're not going to stay well when you do get better. So it's a huge piece. So I'm happy Absolutely. That I can, you know, bring these stories to everybody every week, just showing how anything is possible if you keep that positive mindset. And we just want to share information and just mostly just give hope to those that have lost.
Absolutely. So, that's what you need. You need that hope.
Yes. So I'm excited to hear your journey firsthand along with the listeners. Yes. So where do we start? How far back do we go?
Well, I can go back. I'd like to go back to when my symptoms started. Okay. I was living a pretty, you know, normal life, like everybody else, doing your thing. And this was about 2017. I was bit by a tick. I was actually in North Carolina. I live in New York State now, but I was at the time, my husband and I had a house in Raleigh, North Carolina. We were renovating it to move back to New York State. And so I was working on the property a lot. And I got bit. I didn't really know about ticks a lot, even though I lived in New York State my whole life. And I really didn't know a lot about Lyme disease. I knew of it, but I didn't know anybody with it. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any firsthand knowledge of it. So I got this bite and, you know, I went to the doctors like the next day because it was a bullseye and it was itchy. And the doctor there was not knowledgeable in tick bites, which is weird because they have a lot of ticks in North Carolina. She said, I thought it was something venomous that bit me because it was such a bad bite. Is why I went to the doctors. She said, nope, it's not venomous. Nothing bit you like that. And it'll heal. It'll go away. You'll be fine.
No,
she didn't. Sorry. She didn't do anything.
Did I miss the piece? Did she know it was Lyme or she didn't believe it was
No,
Lyme?
She did not. No, she just looked at the bite and said, you know, and so it's like, that's a pivotal moment in my life. Like I think back now to that moment, you know, that if she would have known, you know, had knowledge of like, wow, this is a definite tick bite. Now the knowledge I have 6 years later of what they look like, a bullseye, and she'd have given me antibiotics, because I do believe that they do help. But I didn't. It didn't happen for me. She didn't know. And so she just said,
and I
you know,
said years ago, because I got the bullseye rash too. I had no idea what it meant.
Yep.
I had heard of Lyme disease, but I thought only dogs got it because my parents talked about it growing up with our animals. Yep. And so just if I would have known, if I would have been educated enough to know what a bullseye rash meant. And I said many years ago, if yeah. that is the only thing I could ever teach somebody is what it means, like right. I've done my duty, right? but sadly, most of us don't get it. You know, very no. small. The percentage keeps no, getting lower and lower.
Right. I mean, because of my age, I'm, you know, well, I'm 47 now, but at the time I was still like 40. I didn't know though. And like I said, I lived in New York State, rural, you know, wooded area. So nothing happened. And I actually just forgot about it. But my symptoms started, you know, right after that, my symptoms started. I had the bullseye. A few weeks later, I had a severe vitamin D deficiency, which is weird because I was outside all the time and I went to the doctors and they tested me because I was really fatigued. And they said, you know, your vitamin D levels are really low. And they gave me a good 10,000 units to take for a couple of weeks. So I experienced symptoms right away, like in a couple of weeks, the vitamin D. Then it slowly went into like having vertigo, then sleepless nights. And this would all would span these symptoms were slowly unfolding in like over months, the next year of my life. I started having really bad like perimenopause symptoms, which I didn't think a lot about because I thought, yeah, I could be going through perimenopause. But they were pretty severe with night sweats and hormone imbalances and not sleeping and fatigue. So they were, those all like were kind of mild symptoms, I say, even though it was difficult. That went on for about a year. We did move back to New York State a year later. And my symptoms started getting a little worse. My right leg, my knee swelled up. I had the swelling up, the fluid on the knee. They had to drain that. And like low blood sugar, I had extreme digestive issues, fatigue. And so this is like now a year after I'm bit, I go to my family doctor and say, I'm just having all of these kind of symptoms. And he tested me for Lyme disease and I tested positive, which is something that doesn't happen for everyone, often. But it did for me. So, right. So now I'm like, oh, I have Lyme disease. So I still didn't really think a lot about it. And I did tell him about the bite. I said, you know, and he said, yep, that was probably it. And so he gave me doxycycline, you know, 500 milligrams three times a day, which is a lot, for a couple of weeks. Came back and, you know, he was like, and that you're good, you know, you should be good to go. This took care of all of it. And so I'm listening to this doctor and I'm like, okay. So about a month or two after the antibiotics, I now feel like I've just angered this bacteria is what I feel like now. The symptoms start escalating seriously to the falling over sensation, the lightheadedness. I can't really drive. I'm shaking a lot, having horrible issues with my heart and my organs. So now I'm starting to see specialists. My doctor's having me go see specialists and I'm having workups done. And they find that I have a deadly rhythm in my heart and they put me on really strong nortriptyline pills, which are like really serious medication for someone who had nothing wrong with her a year ago. So I have.
And
these,
so were they not relating that to Lyme
no.
at all?
And I'm
assuming
either.
You weren't either.
And
right?
I wasn't either. I was like, you know, cause I just shut the door. I'm like, I took the antibiotics and they shut the door on it. And I still wasn't researching that. I was still looking at other things, different things in my life, stress. We had moved. We moved a couple times. We moved back from North Carolina. Then we bought a house and moved, a lot of work on the house. So just, I'm really stressed out and, you know, and in my life situation, my son is disabled. I take care of him. I work. So I'm just really chalking all this up to I'm eating or drinking or not doing something. Mm-hmm. So the heart thing was pretty bad. And now we're going to go into the second year after it's been 2 years now since I've been bit and my symptoms escalate horribly into the fact that I'm now having trouble walking. I'm having trouble talking. I can't even work anymore now because I feel so sick and fatigued and tired. So I'm really just going into this horrible cocoon state of pain. And I'm really just shut in now at this point. My mother comes to stay with me because I can't take care of my son anymore. I now need
somebody. Can't take care of yourself, let alone your child,
I can't take care of myself. So it just happened to be, and I don't believe in happenstance either. And I am a spiritual person. I'm a Christian. I believe very much in God. And so my husband's at work and he has a very demanding job. He's a chef at a college. And so somebody he worked with, everybody at his work, because I had worked there temporarily, and they knew me and they're asking him, you know, how is Holly? And, you know, is she any better? And one of the people that worked with him said, I know of a naturopathic doctor and she's right in this area and maybe she should go see her. So she gave the information to my husband and I took it and I went that week to see her. And she's located right here in the Finger Lakes. So I went to see her. And at this point now I can barely get into the car. I can barely get out of the car to even go in to see her. I'm almost going to the emergency room every week because I'm so scared. And they're just telling me there's nothing wrong. You know, you're in a wheelchair and you're not, you know, and all of these have happened like in the last 6 to 8 months, you've gone completely downhill. And they're at the emergency room and these doctors and like, yeah, we don't know, you know? And so I go see this naturopath doctor. My mom takes me this year and she does kinesiology and tests me. And
my favorite thing.
Yes.
Muscle and testing.
I did not know what it was. And I went to see her. I'd never been to a naturopathic doctor. This is a whole new door, a whole new window of information, but I am so sick. If somebody would have just given me anything and said, this would get you better, you know, and it could have been poison. I don't care. I was so sick. I just wanted everything, anything. So I go to see her and she tests me and she's like, you are, you know, this is really bad. She's very, very honest with me. She's like, this is really bad. And so I'm going to start you on, you know, this Cowden protocol, which I didn't know. I didn't know what it was at all. She's like, I'm going to start you on this. And I also started on,
Holly, sorry, can I interrupt you for just a second? Yes. Because I think what you said, I just really want to reiterate to the listeners. So like you, myself, and probably millions of other people, right? We grow up, when we get sick, our parents take us to the doctor, we take their pill or whatever their concoction is, and we get better and we go about our life. Like that is how most of us grew up, right? And so the natural world is very different. It's very unknown to people like us. When I first got introduced to it and they were doing muscle testing, I literally thought, what in the world did I just do? Like, what is this all about? This is the craziest thing I've ever seen or heard of in my life. And I don't even know if I believed it. But like you, I was so desperate and I was so sick. And all the doctor that I did search out, a Lyme literate doctor, I think he's fabulous, but he did IV antibiotics. And I seriously thought they were going to kill me. I just didn't think I was strong enough to do them. And so I sought alternative health. And I went all in, right? I'm like, Tanya, you have no idea what this is. It all seems crazy to you. Just change that mindset and just know that this is your ticket. This is what you need to do. And so can you just touch maybe a little bit on what it was like? How did you kind of convince yourself, okay, I've got to believe what these people are telling me, right? Because it's all like very strange to us, very off the wall. Oh,
absolutely. Absolutely.
And so maybe that can help the listeners kind of.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think oftentimes we don't make that switch. And a lot of people get better on antibiotics. A lot of people get better with primary doctors. I'm not saying that, but most of us don't, right? And I think we
when it's long term, and that's the thing, right?
Yes.
Right. Researching this now, 6 years later, and my knowledge level of what happens when you are a bit like me and you don't do anything, and it's just this attacking your body all that time. And so you have to think about all that damage it's done and now on doing it. And so I did. I had to wrap my mind around. But I was also couldn't really think a lot because of the, you know, my brain being attacked. So I'm looking, I come home with all this protocol and these supplements. She puts me on many supplements because my body's at this point, the doctors have told me, my specialists, I had three different specialists that told me that my organs were shutting down and they did not know why. And they said they were shutting down and that basically I'm dying and they don't know why. And it was just so surreal to me that I was dying and they did not know why. And so I go to the naturopath doctor and she's just, you know, after visiting her one visit, is this ray of hope in my life of, you know, we have to kill the bacteria. She explains it to me, you know, we're going to kill it, but we're also going to very slowly give your body what it needs because the bacteria has broken your body down, you know, to the point where, right, I don't have the right amount of vitamin D. I don't have the right amount of potassium. It's totally ripped apart my digestive system. So all these things that it's been doing inside my body that I'm not really thinking about right now, but I need to do all these things. And I go home and I'm just looking at this huge protocol. It's a lot. The Cowden protocol is many things and you break it down and instantly, you know, you're going to get sick. You know, and I must have called my naturopath so many times that first couple of weeks, I'm worse. I'm telling her, you know, this is, and I'm worse. And she's very honest with me. This is going to be a very painful thing because you have to kill it and then you have to push it out. And then you learn what detox is. You know, you learn what your body can do at different stages. And my body couldn't do a lot in the beginning. So it took a while of taking it. And it was so hard to go through that protocol. And I say that, I did Cowden protocol three times, but that sounds so easy to say in a statement, but the reality of it is doing it once is like, it had me down. I mean, the Lyme did not make me nowhere near as sick as killing it.
Yeah.
And herxing and all of that. And so you realize this whole new sense of fear, like this is going to get me better, but this is not going to be easy. Yeah. You know, this is going to be a road. And then, you know, you start understanding the levels of that I really just need to live day to day and minute to minute and hour by hour, because really when you are treating and when you're not treating, you change. You're going to feel good 1 minute. And then 2 hours later, you're going to feel like death. You got to go get bed.
So confusing how our bodies do that. And so all the more confusing to us, here I am taking this stuff that I'm not even semi-familiar with, right? I'm just putting my faith in it. I'm getting worse. One day I feel great and the next day I can't get out of bed. Like that is our typical journey. That's normal.
It's normal. I had nobody to tell me like that's normal. So I did join all of the Facebook groups that I could, anything that had anything to do with Lyme. I joined all of them because I'm now, you know, wanting to hear, you know, what is going on and what is out there in the world. Cause I'm so closed off of it. I don't know anybody with it. I don't know anybody that almost died from it. You know, this is a whole different level of things. But, you know, I am so grateful to my naturopathic doctor. She's very knowledgeable, Dr. Laura. And, you know, she had me on, I just kept going to her and she just kept testing me all the way through. Like, okay, you know, let's do this now and let's do this now. And so I really urge people, because when you do put things on social media about getting better, a lot of people are like, well, what are you doing? I will do that, you know? And it's so hard because I wanted to do that too in the beginning, but it's not for you. It's not for you. It's not for your body. You know, you really need your doctor testing your body, because even though the bacteria is the same, our bodies are completely different.
Yes.
And you're going to heal differently.
Yeah. And that's what's so hard about this disease is, I mean, I can have, you know, the top four things that were my game changers and they could do nothing for someone else. We just don't know. And that is, I believe, the beauty of muscle testing, because like you just said, Holly, when you go into your visit, you know, once a month, every other month, however it was for you, they test you. It's like a progress report.
It is.
Right? Okay. Yeah. So this right here was working because this looks better, but now, you know, this is not working. So we need to add this or take this. I mean, it is literally like a progress report in school. And, you know, as any parent with a child going to school, right, you don't want to know at the end of the school year that your child flunked out of school. You want a progress report throughout the year to kind of let you know where they are so you can make adjustments. That's what muscle testing is. And it's amazing.
It is amazing. It's way more accurate than blood work. And even my, you know, even my family that's, you know, is still, my family is still just like, what is, you know, what is it? And, you know, because they'll, I'll be sick, you know, and then I'll go see her. And then a couple of days later, I'm like, I'm better, you know, and I'm just like, she tested me and this is what I didn't have enough of something. But in those early stages, I got to stress to people, you know, I was on a lot of medications from doctors and the nortriptylines that I was on for my heart. I'm really glad I was going to Dr. Laura because I'm on stuff now, because as I'm healing, I won't need those medications. And it's that fine line when you are in medications and you start treating naturopathically that you won't need them. It will be a very slow, gradual, as your body heals, you will heal different things you were taking the medicine for. And that's exactly what happened to me. And one day I woke up and I didn't need those pills anymore.
Amazing.
It is amazing. It is. And I just am so thankful to her being there, Natural Doctors. And now I love sending people that tell me, you know, I need a good one. And I'm like, I got one, I know one, you know, and I send them off to her because finding one can be a huge battle too, depending on what area you live in.
It can be. And just for the listeners, can you reiterate where this doctor is located?
Yes.
And if you would like to share her full name, please do.
Yeah,
if
I sure
you don't,
will.
That's fine.
I will. I asked her if I could before I was on here. She said, absolutely. So her name is Dr. Laura Sleggs, and S-L-E-G-G-S is her last name. She is right here in the Finger Lakes. She has an office in the town is called Henrietta. She also has an office in Canisius Lake area down here where I live. But if you Google Dr. Laura Sleggs, naturopath doctor in the Finger Lakes or in Lakeville, Canisius Lake, any of those things, she's going to come right up. She's the only naturopath doctor in this whole area.
Perfect. And
she's going to come right up.
Don't know what
up
the Finger Lakes is, Holly. Where
Finger
are
Lakes
you?
In
what
York
state?
So we're, I'm in New York State, and on the western part of the state, we have Finger Lakes, and it's all these lakes, these small lakes that look like fingers on a map. And it's huge as far as wine country go. I don't drink wine, but it's just a huge, beautiful area full of lots of like wineries and very touristy. It's a very tourist area. I am on the western part of the Finger Lakes. Of Canisius Lake is one of the lakes part of
Okay. Well, thank you for that geography education. And I'm a wine connoisseur, and New York is on my bucket list. So it may just have to be the Three Finger area, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's a beautiful area. And so she's right here. And I'm fortunate enough that I lived in this area, you know, and still do when I found her, because that's not, I know I've had a lot of people reach out to me, putting my story on and stuff like that, but so I am very grateful to her, and I know that she does see people out of state. She does Zoom calls and stuff like that.
Yes. And that is, again, so we all, we don't know what we don't know. And even though I'm a huge believer in muscle testing, I love it. How they do it remotely is mind blowing to me, right? Like I don't get it, but I don't need to. If they tell me they can do it, I believe that it can be done, because this is the type of treatment that healed me, right? So
So
I'm glad to hear that she does telehealth.
She lives here, and she actually recently had to go down to South Carolina. Her daughter's in college down there, so she was down there, and I had to see her a couple times when she was down there, and we just did over the phone, you know, sometimes it was a phone call or FaceTime. Yeah. So it was very convenient. She's the pro at that, as far as like the muscle testing.
Awesome. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, there's a couple of big treatments that are well known within the Lyme community. One of them is the Buhner protocol. We've got Dr. Rawls protocol. And then we got what you utilize, the Cowden protocol. And these are all designed by these doctors that put the whole package together, right? Yes. And so it makes it really easy for people that, first of all, are overwhelmed, right? Second yes. of all, they just don't even know what to do. Their brain doesn't think properly, right? And so it right. doesn't mean this protocol is going to work for every person, right? But sometimes right. it's a really great starting point. We right. don't know what to do. We don't know where to turn. We have not a clue what we're doing.
Right.
So again, they're the Buhner protocols, Dr. Rawls, and then the Cowden protocol. So when you mentioned that you did that for three times, is that a 6 month or?
It's a 9 month protocol.
A 9 month protocol.
And I did them back to back. I did them back to back. I just kept going with it as long as she kept testing me. Yep, kept to keep going, you know. Awesome. And I did other things. I mean, I did supplements, obviously. And I did, it's important to detox. You can detox by mouth, obviously take things. My body does well with sweating my adrenals, you know, sauna and that. So that works really well. But there's, you know, a lot of people, when you say detox, they don't know what you're talking about because yeah. You can't just treat. And when you do that, it'll all just stay in your bodies. It's really important for people to know like the different things. Like you got to make sure you're going to the bathroom, because otherwise if you're just killing stuff and you're not going to the bathroom, you're going to be even worse. You know, I don't, you know, to talk about the ugly parts of it, that's the truth. I mean, you got to make sure. That's why it's really important to see a doctor, because if I had to figure all that out on my own, I would have never been able to figure that out on my
yeah.
own.
Yeah. And I often say, detoxing is just as important, if not more important, than actually killing the pathogens, yeah. you know, and I hear a lot of people that deal with like numbness and pins and needles. And if we think about it, you know, so Babesia, right, is a parasite.
Yeah.
And when you kill parasites, they release such a high amount of ammonia. If you look up like ammonia toxicity, you will see those are a couple of the big symptoms of it, is the pins and needles and the numbness. And right. in order to avoid this, right, is we've got to detox. We've got to bind these mm-hmm. toxins as we kill them. We've got to release them out of right. our body. And pooping, right, is one right. of the biggest ways to do it. We have to be able to go to the bathroom. So however you can regulate, you yes. know, and we all have gut issues when we go through this, right? So the right. bathroom isn't always
yeah,
the easiest
thing for us.
Yeah,
I will say I definitely had some major, I had a gluten allergy. I did not know I had a dairy and a gluten allergy my whole life. I've kind of not ate a lot of them, but my digestive system was really ripped up, and I did a lot of, I took a lot of supplements. And totally changed my diet to heal my gut. I ate a very gut-friendly diet, and I still do eat a lot of organic and stuff like that. But I, you know, that helps with your digestion to heal it, because that's the whole point is, right, you want to be able to fix that because that's where your immune system is, and then right to go to the bathroom. And I did start doing colonic treatments last year. I highly recommend colonics.
It's my favorite thing.
Yeah, it's hard. A lot of people
I have
don't
a handful
want to talk
of
about
favorite
it,
things. Yeah, no, I love to talk
you
about
know,
poop.
it's the thing. You know, if you don't want to get sick, even if you're not struggling with like Lyme disease, just in general, just in life, you know, everything. I very, very much. I got a great guy up here in Rochester, Jacob with Serenity Station, and just great. He's great, great, great. And I can't say enough about him. And I try to do that monthly colonics.
No, and that is, I mean, again, you know, another thing that got introduced to me in this holistic world.
Right.
And I was like, you want me to do what? I know. Like, are you kidding me right now? And for those of you that don't know what colonics is, it's hydrocolon therapy. So it's where they actually insert a tube into your rectum, flush you with water, and it detoxes, right. you know, right. your intestines.
Yeah, because so, people talk a lot about you know, doing enemas and stuff like that.
Enemas are fabulous. Yes.
Right. Right. And I still had struggled doing those. I was scared to do those, and I was scared to do anything because I was so sick. You know, you're scared. You've been so sick, and I don't want to. You know, what's that going to feel like? And the unknown is so scary. And my first time, it took me 6 months to talk myself into going to a colonic. It really did. I'll be very honest. And when I went, I was so nervous about it, and I came out of there feeling so great. I was like, I can't believe I was so nervous, and I just felt so good.
It's scary. We don't know what we're doing. And so there are two types of colonics. There's an open system and a closed system. Right. What type did you do?
This is a closed system. Okay. And so, right. And so I you know, I would just urge people, like, if you don't know, like, I read up about it, read up about colonics, and there's different places, and look at their websites and call them and talk to them. That's what I did, and do whatever you have to do to get to a comfortable place, because again, you know, the whole point of it is you want to get it out of your body. And that's what I've learned. And I am learning, like, over the last 6 years, that, you know, I don't want this in my body and I want to get it out. And so you have to learn to make your body a place that doesn't want to live, and, you know, and to keep your immune system up. And so when you do have these little bouts, because, you know, you're still going to get sick. I mean, I still get sick once in a while. Like, I just am recovering from, like, you know, a chest cold and stuff like that. And I saw Laura and she said, yep, there's parasites involved. And so I'm back on some things, but, you know, it's 5-6 days. You're not down for months and months at a time like that, you know, cause you, that's the whole point. You really want to strengthen your body up.
Yeah, exactly. And I love that you're bringing up all these things that I love. And so yes, when I first went and did colonics, it was explained to me that healthy people do these all the time. And I'm like, what? So, I mean, it really is a natural part of our body, and it is completely amazing. And I love that you brought up the parasites, because a lot of times people ask me, you know, I've been well for, February was 4 years. I have zero symptoms. I go, go, right? Like, no fatigue. I'm like, Tanya, you need to rest. Awesome. You know, I just don't have time to rest. Right. And people are like, what do you do? Well, that's one of the things I do. I don't treat, I don't really take supplements. I will always take a little bit of colloidal silver every day.
Yep.
When I travel, I up it a little bit. I spray it up my nose, right? I don't want to catch anybody's cold. But I do a parasite cleanse, and I do it 2 or 3 times a year. And when I do my cleanse, when I'm done, I go in and do 3 rounds of colonics.
Yes.
So I will always,
you want to get it out. Forever. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. You're killing off that stuff, and I'm probably detoxing it a lot, but I really want to get it out with colonics.
You do, but that's why you're not sick though, you know, and will we all ever be completely rid of all parasites? Probably not. Not the earth and the world we live in. It's everywhere, you know?
No, yeah.
So, but realistically, like, what is realistic? Realistically, you know, like you just said, you know, you know what to do to keep feeling the way you feel. And so, and that's kind of where I'm at. I take a few supplements, you know, and I really like to push my body. I like to stay in shape, and I feel better now. I do feel better now than I did when I was younger. I do. And I've always been kind of on the physically fit side. So I push myself a lot, and in getting better the last couple of years, I've done yoga and Pilates and strength training and, you know, a lot of walking, a lot of speed walking. I run now. And so I don't get to do all that in the winter. And so living in New York State, I kind of go through a couple of month phase in the spring where I do clean out. You know, I do a liver cleanse diet, which helps as another detox. And then I end up working those old bacteria that are in my muscle. I'll work them out, and I will feel like crap for a couple months, and usually have to get a hold of Laura, and she gives me a fine tune adjustment. Now, if I didn't push myself and work those muscles, I probably wouldn't have those symptoms, because I'm not getting that riled up, but I am choosing to do that.
To live your life, right?
Yeah, I'm choosing to do that. And I just want to explain to people that you can get feeling better and then go take on an activity and be like, why am I sick again? Or why am I having a flare? And that's a temporary thing. It's just a little bit of old stuff that's working its way out because it was hiding somewhere. Mm-hmm. And now you're getting healthy and it has nowhere to live. Yeah. So
no,
I would definitely encourage
that.
People. Yeah. Encourage people to that. Cause that's, I just do it nice and slow.
Yeah. That's amazing. And I think it's, you know, like you mentioned earlier, we don't want to have an environment where these pathogens feel that they can just take over our body. Right. And living in the toxic world that we live in, you know, our food, the environment, the products we put on our body and our skin, and it's just really toxic. And so it's important to constantly keep a strong terrain or a strong foundation, whatever you want to call it, right? I think that Absolutely. If you can keep a strong foundation, I think you can stay well. Like, I really do. And part of it, you know, just like the title of my podcast, Lyme and Beyond. It's mentioned earlier, we don't just kill, right? We detox too, but there's so many layers to it. It's the emotional side of things.
It is emotionally.
Can you talk a little bit about your emotional part of the journey?
Yeah, I'll touch base on that a little bit. Spiritually, like I said, I'm a Christian, and you know, that comes into play with a lot with my early stages of getting sick early on, emotionally, spiritually. I think all of it is connected for all of us. And so your mindset has a lot to do with where you are. And obviously, I learned going through my journey in the beginning, I got saved when I was like 21. And I just was very on fire for the Lord. I was very close to the Lord. And I went through some things, some really tough things, went through a very difficult marriage. A lot of abuse, and, you know, it's just very difficult time. And I kind of, you know, left my husband, and I didn't walk away from God, but I wasn't, you know, I just was doing my own thing, you know? And when I got real sick, you know, I remember those early months when I couldn't move, and I was just laying there, and the tears just came down my face because I just continually cried because I was in so much pain. And, you know, I remember talking with God and saying, you know, I can't live like this. Like, this pain is unbearable. And I have so much life that I want to live, but I don't think I can do this. And I just had this moment with God, and he just brought this peace over me that was like, you know, Holly, you're not going to die. You're not going to die, but you're going to feel like you're going to die, but you're not going to die. And, you know, you're going to get better. You know, and I'm here, and I've always been here. And I just realized that I was the one that kind of took myself away. And that's why this was such a struggle for me, because I was going solo through this. I was just spiritually, I was just like not having that power. And once I had that moment with God early on, those first couple months, and realized, okay, you've got to, like, you got to gird your loins here. You got to grab a hold of something. And I grabbed a hold of that hope that, you know, I am going to get through this. I can get through this. I'm going to get through this. God's going to get me through this. And that might sound so easy, but that was an everyday, that was hundreds of times a day of affirmations that you can do this and you have to do this. Your family's waiting for you to get better. My daughter, I had grandchildren, three little grandchildren at the time. I couldn't help her with them. I couldn't be a grandma at all. I needed her to help. You know, I had a daughter in Florida that, she couldn't come up a lot, and I couldn't go see her. Our only way to talk was phone call. I couldn't talk on the phone for a year. That, you know, that was just a very depressing thing, but I just kept the positivity that we could text each other, and, you know, God, circle back around. He's going to get me through this. And so you've got to, you know, you're talking about hope. That's that hope. You know, you got to grab a hold that I'm going to get better. I'm going to get better. I'm going to get through this. And, you know, I guess if I could really say something to anybody about the stress, don't stress yourself out. Don't let anybody else stress you out and be negative to you, but don't do it to yourself. I know early on, I was like setting some little goals for myself of when I wanted to get better. And I had to wipe all that away and say, you know what? I don't care when. I don't care when I'll be able to drive again or walk again. I'm not going to stress myself out and think about those things. I'm just going to concentrate on getting better and breathing and eating every day, you know, and my affirmations of telling, you know, those positive reinforcements of focus on what you can do and don't be negative to yourself and don't let other people be negative to you. You have to remove that stress because they say stress is a killer. Even, you know, the whole world of doctors, what do they say? Stress will kill you. I believe that. I believe that it also prevents you from healing drastically, because whenever I would stress out in healing, I'd go backwards 5 steps.
That is so powerful. So powerful. Thank you for kind of diving into that, because I can't stress it enough. Just like you, it's huge. Our mindset is huge. It is. And grasp on, you know, whatever your religious beliefs are, whatever they aren't. And you know, like you admitted, you walked away, but you didn't let go, right? I did. I had a a love-hate relationship with God during my journey for many, many years, right?
Yeah.
I think it's natural and it's a struggle, but for sure, if he wasn't there, I wouldn't be here. I know that without a doubt.
Right. Yeah. And I did. I mean, I told myself, and I know a lot of people, I see this a lot on the support groups, that, you know, I just want to be who I was. I miss who I was before this disease and everything just took me down. And I said that also to myself in those early months of, I just want to be me again, you know, and in this healing journey, I'm not me. I'm not who I was before I got sick and almost died. I'll never be that person again. You can't almost die and have an illness take you and break you or change you and come back from that and then be who you were. You will always be changed, you know? And so I definitely want to encourage anybody listening to this that, you know, more be excited about the fact that you're going to be, you know, a cocoon changed. You're going to be a way better version of who you ever were.
That was the key word right
there. And that's the exciting thing. And that I have grabbed a hold of so much in the last couple of years, just like, it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what you used to look like. And for women, we're just like, oh, my hair, my weight, all these things and this disease, and don't focus on those things. Think about how you feel inside. And it doesn't, those things don't matter. They just don't matter. Because when you come out of this internally, you're going to be such a depth of a different person. That's what matters. You know, that's what's going to carry you through the rest of your life, not those other changes, the vain ones. It's just not.
Mm, I love it. I absolutely love it. And it's so true. It is just so true. I have not talked to a single person that truly doesn't believe that Lyme was like a blessing in their life. Because even though we think, you know, we're kind of a good human, we have an amazing life.
Right.
The other side of Lyme is something you could never dream to experience. And
no,
I get it, right, Holly? I'm sure you can too. Somebody trying to tell somebody this that's really, really sick, right? That has lost hope. But I'm telling you over and over again, every one of my guests are just like you and say the same thing.
Yeah.
It's gotta be true, right?
It is. It is. You can, you know, it is, like I said, it's a mind, and you got to grab a hold of whatever it is you have in your life. And I will talk about for a minute here. I was not a rich person. I have never been a rich person. I am very excited that I can go back to work. I am a food service director. I'm a chef. I love being in the food industry. I am now specialized in food allergens. And that's a whole new thing for me. I just started a catering business, Humble Pie Catering, that I just started in the Finger Lakes area. Never, ever, ever 6 years ago, if somebody would have told me, you know, that I'd be doing these things, I would have said, absolutely not. There's no way. But I mean, I was not rich. I was very poor. I was working, couldn't work. My husband was working. You know, I was caring for my son. I still do care for him. He's got some disabilities, and I was making very little money on home caring. And I went into debt, and I started going into this debt. And that was something I believed in myself. And I told myself, you're going to go into debt to get better, because insurance is not going to pay for this. And when you get better, then you'll worry about getting out of debt. And that's exactly what I told myself. And that's what I did. I went 26 grand in debt. For everything. That's including $8,000 I spent on my teeth. I didn't talk about that, but the amalgam, the mercury poisoning, had to get rid of that. Couldn't get better with that. I had to go $8,000 worth of dental work and not get rid of all that. I had to put ceramic in there. That was a whole thing. And, you know, now I'm probably like, you know, $6,000 in debt. So can you get better and can you work on it? You can, but you can't take it all on when you're sick. You really have to just maybe do what you can. You know, and that's what I told myself, is that if I have to go into debt, then so be it. But I mean, if you can't work, you know, it's not so much about, you know, just trying to get rich, just try to do what you can. You know, there was times I couldn't afford all my supplements, so I bought the most important ones, you know, and my saunas and my treatments. But when you get through that, you know, you get through that time. Like I said, that 2.5 years was definite a struggle. I mean, that was a huge struggle. I did not feel well for all of that time. And so now I'm like, okay, I'm starting a business and I am getting out of debt and all of these things are happening. And it's because of that newness of a new person that I am. And that's what will happen to, you know, anybody transforming themselves from what Lyme does to you. You know, it doesn't have to take you down. You can find the other side of it.
Yes, I love it. And so just to recap, because I'm glad that you brought up the financial part of it, because many people were defeated anyways, right? Like, what is this that we have? Why is it taking me down? And many people are like, I can't afford a treat. Like, I have no money. When there's a will, there's a way. Yep. I've always said that because my journey cost me $1 million out of pocket over my 13-year journey. And I can assure you, I did not have $1 million laying around, right? Right. I had, I don't know, I think at the time I had around $600,000 in my retirement. That is all gone, right? Yeah. You figure out what you can do. I spent the money. I did fundraisers. My family helped me do fundraisers. When there's a will, there's a way. And our life is really worth fighting for. And so to hear that you say it was about $24,000.
Yeah, about 26. Yeah, it was about $26,000 altogether.
And that is a lot of money, right?
But not, no worries. I mean, you just went into $1 million. I mean, that's
yeah, but so many people I've even talked to, you know, are in it 3-4 years and they're already in $100,000.
Yes.
So not to diminish how much you spent at all.
No, you can't.
That is a perfect example of people can, we can do this, right? No, it should be covered by insurance, however we want to treat. I agree.
It's true. They're not nothing that you do. And that's, I try, like in my family, my immediate family, you know, anything going on, I'm like, you know, I'm like, go see Laura, go see Laura. And some of the times they can't, cause they're like, I don't have the money to go do that. You know, the hundreds of dollars. And so my point, you know, where I'm at now in my life is I want to have some financial freedom ahead in the years ahead so that if someone in my family needed to go see her, then I'll pay for it. Pay for it. You know, I want to be able to pay that because I just feel like that's a huge thing that until that's changed, and I don't know when that would ever be in our country, you have to find a way to live without maybe other things, which I definitely had to sacrifice. I'm sure you did too, Tanya. You sacrifice other things to have those things. I mean, I didn't eat sugar for, you know, 6 to 8 months, no sugar. You know, you can't have those things when you're treating nothing, you know? So you go without, but what can you buy if you go without other things, you know?
Yeah, no, it was always a rob Peter to pay Paul kind of thing, right? And
yes.
And I appreciate that you said, you know, if you couldn't afford all the supplements, you took the ones that you felt were most important or that they muscle tested you for that you needed most importantly. That doesn't mean beat yourself up. Don't get defeated because you're still continuing to work towards getting one day better, right? By what you can do. And that is the hope that we can't lose.
Yes. And that's exactly why I just coming on here, I really wanted to share, you know, the horrible parts of it, the nitty gritty, you know, terrible parts of it, but also the hope that, you know, there is hope coming through this, though. It's not all that I'm going to be broke, you know, don't focus on those negative things. And you really have to, I had to retrain my brain completely. I had to retrain my brain. I had to slow my thinking down. I had to stop the way I thought and completely learn a whole new way of thinking and processing information because we live in a society that can be negative and even support groups can be negative and they're supposed to be support groups because we are all human. So that can all be difficult and you have to find a place where you will grab that positivity and that hope because, you know, where there is, there also is others, you know, there also is that negative and you just don't need that. We definitely don't need other people doing it. We definitely don't need to do it to ourselves.
Yep. We need to surround ourselves with positive energy. And again, we're not perfect, right? We're going to have a bad moment or a slip up, but jump back up because it really truly is about our mindset. And it's not just the words that come out of our mouth. it's the thoughts that go through our mind, right? They both impact us more than you can ever know. So it's so important. I'm glad that you highlighted on all of that.
Yes. Yeah.
Molly, this has been so great. Did we miss anything? Is there any last piece that you want to talk about or share?
I just want to end, you know, by telling people that, reach out. You know, I've reached out to a lot of things. I couldn't think, like I said, I couldn't talk. So I listened. I wish this podcast was there. But I listened to some other things. I listened to a pastor. I listened to, you know, some just find positivity. We live in a day and age where if you want to connect and listen to something positive, you can. It's literally at your fingertips if you don't have it around you. Definitely stay positive and hopeful and connect with other people that are going to help you in that. And try, you know, try not to focus so much on other people's journey and why it's not working for you. I spent a lot of time with that the first 6 to 8 months. And if I could go back and talk to Holly 6 years ago, Holly, and say, Holly, don't do that. Just worry about you and what works for you and what doesn't. And don't waste time with what everybody else is doing and working for them. Because you really just need to focus on you and your healing journey.
Yeah, we can't compare ourselves in any way throughout this journey. And so we don't have a lot of energy. So put that energy on focusing on yourself, right?
Absolutely.
And that's going to be the way to get well.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been amazing. I so appreciate you sharing and joining. And I'm just so happy you're well and are starting that kind of next chapter, that new Holly version, right? That is better than you ever dreamed. So I'm just so happy for you.
I just want to thank you so much. I thank you so much for this, that you offer this podcast to people. And I know I'm going to do everything I can to share it and get it out there, because that's what you need to do. The world is big and there's lots of stuff out there. So push the good stuff. And I'm going to share this now that I've come across. I thank you so much for having me on here. And I just thank you for the work that's gone into this. People don't realize a lot of work involved. And I greatly appreciate that. This is a huge asset that people have at their fingertips. So I just want to thank you for that.
I appreciate your kind words. Thank you. And yes, we just want to share it, because it's all about giving hope and inspiration. And that's certainly what you did today. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.